As the coronavirus continues to spread, pro athletes have been helping out in some pretty big ways.
Well, Sixers star Joel Embiid is stepping up to help people affected by coronavirus. Reports say that the big man is donating $500,000 to the COVID-19 relief effort.
And last week, Warrior star Steph Curry did something really unusual when he interviewed public health expert Dr. Anthony Fauci live on Instagram.
Dr. Fauci.
Hey, Steph.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Today, The Athletic's Sam Amick joins us to talk about how pro athletes are pitching in ways we've never seen before and how it's helping.
It's a different sort of impact when it's coming from, you know, a voice like Steph.
But also, is there a double standard for some of the world's richest and most powerful sports stars?
With all due respect, an entire NBA team should not get tested for COVID-19 while there are critically ill patients waiting to be tested. Tests should not be for the wealthy, but for the sick.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Skelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. It's Monday, March 30th, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
You gotta go faster, faster!
The failures of the past don't matter because we got this guy.
Are you kidding me? I've never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
So, Sam, how are things in Sacramento?
They're fine. The work stuff's tricky because it's like trying to work on a weekend, you know, when everybody's home every day, which is an adjustment for sure. You make some headway on a work thing, and then you make some calls, and you start writing a story, and then it kind of like dawns on you that, oh, shoot, you know, I haven't checked in with the boys in 90 minutes, and go out there, and they're on video games, and you're like, oh, boy, we got to get back on track, you know.
So, Sam, we wanted to talk about some of the positive things that pro athletes, including NBA players, have been doing in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. And one of the things that we've heard a lot about is players putting up money to help arena workers who, you know, have lost their jobs in many cases. What's the latest there?
Joel Embiid had a really significant gesture the other day for the Sixers.
Was the 76ers as a organization going to dock salaried employees by 20% during the COVID-19 pandemic? And then Joel do a 180. Embiid decided to donate $500,000 for the employees to get through this. And now the 76ers are walking this back, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Basically,
Anthony Davis of the Lakers providing $250,000 to match donations.
I'm partnering with Lineage Logistics, World Kitchen, and a group of incredible LA volunteers to launch Feed the Front Lines. This campaign is going to get meals from local restaurants and bring those meals to healthcare workers and LA hospitals.
That is an effort that's obviously geared towards the medical community and the people trying to keep us safe and the people that are putting themselves in harm's way. To me, it's just NBA players, by and large, using their voices, using their resources, are out there as much as any of the folks in the celebrity community, and I think it's neat to see.
And I want to talk about one of the more unusual things that I've seen a pro athlete do in recent memory.
Hey, Steph. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but I'm glad I got connected with you.
Steph Curry did a video interview on Instagram with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top infectious disease expert from the National Institutes of Health.
You know, Dr. Fauci gets on there with a basketball hoop in the background and a bunch of pictures that show you that, oh, by the way, he played ball back in the day.
And I like that background, too. Oh, man, I appreciate you coming on.
You know, Dr. Fauci apparently has an appreciation for basketball. And, you know, I give him credit even well beyond this interview. It has been simply impressive and incredible the just how much time he's been spending on camera in general these days.
And do we know how that interview came about?
Well, a friend and colleague, Marcus Thompson, who is always phenomenal in general, but certainly the best in the business on all things Steph Curry, wrote for The Athletic that Bryant Barr is one of Steph's best friends and a guy who he played with at Davidson and currently the president of his company, SC30, that Bryant and Steph had essentially seen Dr. Fauci doing an interview online and people suggesting on Twitter that he do one with a celebrity. Folks started recommending different people, LeBron James, Taylor Swift, and Bryant had thought about Steph as a guy who, you know, could maybe conduct this interview and make that connection and get the job done.
I have to say, I thought he did a really nice job of, you know, collecting questions from his fans and then asking them in a simple, easy to follow kind of way.
How is COVID-19 different from the flu in terms of, you know, how it, you know, interacts with the body and just how it spreads?
Well, it's similar in some respects, Steph, in that it's a respiratory illness that's transmitted by the respiratory route. It gives a degree of pathology that's mostly pneumonia. The reason it's different is that it's very, very much more transmissible than flu. And more importantly, it's significantly more serious. Let me give you some very quick
numbers. He was humble, and he came at it from a standpoint of, all right, you know, Dr. Fauci, you're the expert. And kind of that sense of there's no such thing as a dumb question, but almost apologizing, like, is this a dumb question?
Steph, that's not a stupid question. That's a smart question. Because that's exactly what we are doing and what you need to do. There's two types of tests, and you described
it. You know, and just open up all these different avenues.
And do you think the real value of Steph Curry doing something like this is his ability to reach people who, you know, might not be watching CNN or reading the New York Times?
For sure. And I think it's kids. You know, you could be talking about 8-year-olds on Instagram who might see this, and then next time they get out in the neighborhood, they take it a little bit more seriously. You see some kids where you can tell that their parents have gotten the message across to them about social distancing, and they're really going out of their way to keep their distance. And you see some other families where it's clear they haven't had as many conversations. And I mean, even in my house, my 10-year-old, I feel like didn't necessarily really have it hit home how serious the coronavirus was until we heard that Kevin Durant had it.
We are following breaking news right now. Reports that Kevin Durant, in fact, is one of the Nets players that has been tested positive for the coronavirus. This news coming from The Athletic saying
that's the kind of stuff that resonates with you know, an audience that's not consuming news in the kind of way that a lot of adults do. So I just think it's that age bracket, and then it's just the sheer scope and the numbers because he's a massively popular athlete.
It seemed like to me the main message that he and Dr. Fauci wanted to get across was about how we as a country should be thinking about this pandemic.
We're not overreacting, right? That's the, I've heard that term in terms of, you know, people feeling, you know, threatened by the change in the reality, but there's no overreaction to this. This is a serious thing.
You're absolutely right. We need to make that point. This is serious business. We are not overreacting.
Then you saw the power of an athlete like Steph or anybody high profile like that is where they're basically looking at the camera and just reaffirming that message and telling all those kids, all those folks who might have been cynical about social distancing and staying at home, where, you know, if you didn't believe it from mom and dad, now, you know, take it from Steph that this thing is for real. It's not just it's not a hoax. It's not something that's being exaggerated. You know, Dr. Fauci's, you know, just like any other doctor you might see in an office, that when you hear him talk, his message might kind of drone in one ear and out the other. It's a different sort of impact when it's coming from, you know, a voice like Steph.
Well, and along the lines of high-profile basketball players having personal stories about coronavirus, another video that generated a lot of buzz was from Timberwolves star Karl Anthony Towns.
What's up, guys? Just something to update you on my life.
Carl is sitting there in a sweatshirt and a baseball cap with a super heavy look on his face, And before he even said a word, you could tell that there was something pretty deep, you know, as far as this message goes. His mother, Jacqueline Cruz, had been diagnosed with COVID-19.
She kept getting worse, and she just wasn't getting better. Her fever was never cutting from 103, maybe go down to 101.9 with the meds, and then immediately spike back up. Her lungs were getting worse. Her cough was getting worse. She was deteriorating from her eyes.
It was one of the most kind of open, real-time things I've ever seen a professional athlete put out.
She's been in a medically induced coma. Since that day, I haven't talked to her, haven't been able to obviously communicate with her. I've just been getting updates on her condition. It's rough, and you know, day by day, we're just seeing how it goes.
And Carl is a guy that, for the most part, he's got a big old smile on his face, enjoys playing hoop. And, you know, we don't see this side of him or even really know the people who matter most in his life. And so, you know, he was there sharing a very personal struggle.
My mother, the strongest woman I know. And I know she'll beat this. We're gonna rejoice when she does. Love you guys. And I'll talk to you later.
And Sam, are there any updates to Karl Anthony Towns' family situation since he released that video?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is his mom is certainly still in the middle of a very tough fight and in that medically induced coma, and that his father, who also had tested positive, is recovering, that he's had a hard time, but he's been able to get through it certainly better than his mother. And, you know, without question, wishing them both the best and thinking about their family.
And of course, athletes aren't the only ones doing this kind of thing. A lot of people and other celebrities are sharing their stories and their struggles. But do you think that this kind of thing is particularly hard for athletes to do, you know, showing vulnerability and opening up about personal pain?
I think it's probably a case-by-case basis, just based on personality. I would say that in 2020 compared to maybe 1990, it's just a whole different universe, obviously, for, you know, their ability to control their own message, to have somebody like Carl tell someone like, hey, why don't you just set the phone up over there? I'm feeling a few things. I want to get a few things off my chest. Let's get the message out, as opposed to, you know, let's go call the TV crew and take 2 or 3 days to set up a shoot. You're talking about an age when LeBron James is pumping out half of his life on Instagram in better times, where he's telling you, you know, what he had for lunch and what his kids are doing and what his wife's doing. And so there's a transparency and an openness to a lot of them that inevitably means you're going to see the real stuff. You're going to see the raw stuff. And somebody who's beloved in the NBA community, Doris Burke of ESPN, just announced on an ESPN podcast that she's tested positive for COVID-19.
Basically, my first symptom, looking back on it now, Adrian, was March 11th, which was the day I was broadcasting Denver at Dallas, which was obviously...
Now you are going to go through this a little bit with Doris, go through it with Carl, go through it with Tom Hanks, go through it with Idris Elba, all these different people who were in your homes, whether it's through a game or a show or a movie, and now you're hoping they pull through.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/.
So Sam, in addition to all of the positive things happening with pro athletes, we also wanted to look at the flip side, because, you know, there have been claims that pro athletes have had unfair access to coronavirus tests, for example, which are of course in short supply. And New York Mayor Bill de Blasio even talked about this a couple of weeks ago with the Brooklyn Nets.
And New York Mayor Bill de Blasio fired a tweet out yesterday. He noted that he wished the infected Nets players a speedy recovery, but he also added, quote, with all due respect, an entire NBA team should not get tested for COVID-19. While there are critically ill patients waiting to be tested, tests should not be for the wealthy, but for the sick.
And then you had NBA Commissioner Adam Silver responding to those criticisms.
And so the fundamental issue, obviously, is there are insufficient tests. I'd only say in the case of the NBA, we've been following the recommendations of public health officials. I mean, let me begin with the situation.
Sam, how do you think the NBA has handled the situation?
For one, they have not been 100% transparent about how many tests have been taken across the entire league. At one point, it was 8 teams that had received tests. After that, the Denver Nuggets announced that they had one member of their organization who tested positive, but they didn't even identify if that was a player, a staff member, commentator, whatever it might be. You know, the Utah Jazz, for example, and their situation in Oklahoma City back on March 11th, you know, in kind of the ground zero of the NBA's experience, when Rudy Gobert tests positive, the Oklahoma health officials decide that, you know, they have enough concern about the Jazz that they are going to justify 58 tests that came from the public sector. That sparked a lot of criticism.
You know, there have been reports here in Los Angeles, for example, of private practice doctors getting their hands on coronavirus tests and essentially auctioning them off to patients of theirs. This isn't necessarily happening with pro athletes, but it does seem like to some extent there is a double standard for the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, no question. I got a front row view at that. I got pretty sick right before the virus had really ramped up in the U.S. and was on a road trip, was feeling terrible, and I was coughing, and I had the chills, and I had body aches. I didn't necessarily have a conventional fever, but I felt very, it was pretty severe. And when I got in touch with, you know, my medical carrier, I couldn't get anywhere. I mean, legitimately, what I was told, you know, if your symptoms are still there in 3 weeks, then maybe you come in. And, you know, pretty loose parameters compared to an athlete who, once they start coughing, you got somebody, you know, tapping them on the shoulder and saying, hey, go behind the velvet rope here and we'll take care of you.
One of the other things that's raised some eyebrows with pro athletes is access to medical care. So, you know, non-essential medical services are supposed to be halted at the moment. But, for example, Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard created a bit of a firestorm last week when he got Tommy John surgery on his arm.
You do not then announce that your big star baseball player is having elective surgery on Thursday, you dummies. What do you expect? You're going to get people furious, and they are. They're going crazy.
And, you know, in that case, you had a doctor flying from New York to Florida, ignoring rules about quarantining, and then doing what was certainly not a life-saving surgery on a baseball player. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, my opinion on the Syndergaard situation would just be that I understand the idea that he might want to rehab and get that clock ticking earlier rather than later, but folks in everyday life right now are just not hearing that. It's not a priority. So I think sensitivity is the way to go. And, you know, unfortunately, every once in a while, I think, you know, people are going to misstep on that front.
And one last concern here is about misinformation. So, you know, whenever you have professional athletes or anyone who's not a public health expert diving into conversations about coronavirus, there's the risk of there being some misinformation, right? And for example, and one small example of this is with Carl Anthony Towns. I'm not trying to criticize the guy here, but, you know, when he talked about his mother's situation, he mentioned telling her to go directly to the hospital when she started developing some symptoms.
My parents weren't feeling well. My first reaction to her was to go seek medical attention immediately. There's no reason to wait, you know, just go to the nearest hospital.
But that's not what Dr. Anthony Fauci has often said, and he even mentioned this in his interview with Steph Curry.
If someone right now gets flu-like symptoms, a fever, aches, and a bit of a cough, the first thing you do is stay at home. Don't go to an emergency room because then you might be infecting others. Okay. Get on the phone with a physician, a nurse, or a healthcare provider. Get instructions from them what to do. And if available, you can get a test. But the critical issue is don't flood the emergency rooms. Stay at home. If you really are obviously seriously ill, then you've got to go quickly there. But if you just have aches, pains, and a fever, stay where you are, but contact your physician.
I'm just curious about your thoughts on the potential for athletes trying to do good and maybe involuntarily or accidentally spreading some misinformation.
They need to be careful. It's interesting, Andres, because you can watch these videos from all these different athletes. It's going to be a PSA type message. Somebody jumps on Twitter, Instagram, and an athlete tells you to wash your hands, keep your distance. And that's positive. And we've been talking a lot about the value of that, but you can also tell that, and this is a good thing, that they've been coached, that they've got somebody in their ear telling them what to say, telling them what's right and what's wrong from a medical standpoint. But you're going to have slip-ups. LeBron James was talking about COVID-19 and was telling everybody to stay safe and take care of themselves, but he kind of had a passing comment about how, if he was a kid growing up in a tough neighborhood in Akron, Ohio, that his mom would not be hearing this stuff about staying in.
I feel like my mom would have been like, I don't give a fuck about Corona. You better get your ass out of my house. Get the fuck out. You're getting on my nerves.
In normal times, it's maybe a charming, relatable story. But right now, that's not a good message to send out. So these guys and these women, too, have to be careful. You want to help, but you can hurt if you say the wrong thing.
So, Sam, what are your big takeaways here about the role that pro athletes can and do play in the public response to this pandemic?
The days of families cozying up to the television like it was in the 60s and 70s are over. The information is coming at you on your phone. It's coming at you through a million different channels. And I just think it's productive and positive to have the right message coming from a bunch of different places, not politicians, people who basically Americans have come to enjoy and know through sports. And those guys are helping the cause right now.
Well, Sam, thanks so much for joining us, and go boot those sons of yours off the video games.
Exactly. I'll try. Thanks, Anders. Hang in there. Be safe.
You can follow Sam Amick's coverage of the NBA at theathletic.com.
Here are some other stories we're following at The Lead. Speaking of athletes trying to help out, former Knicks point guard Stephon Marbury has been attempting to set up a deal to get 10 million N95 masks to New York from China at a heavily discounted price. Marbury became a basketball icon in China after his NBA playing days were over, and the 43-year-old is now a coach in the Chinese Basketball Association. He told the New York Post, quote, "At the end of the day, I'm from Brooklyn. This is something that is close and dear to my heart as far as being able to help New York." As of Sunday evening, it was unclear if Marbury's proposed deal to deliver the masks would come to fruition.
Meanwhile, news broke over the weekend that Knicks owner James Dolan has tested positive for coronavirus.
The team made the announcement last night on Twitter. The Knicks say that Dolan has been in self-isolation and has little to no symptoms and will continue to oversee business operations.
The 64-year-old is the first owner of a major U.S. professional team with a known positive test.
And the football world is mourning Orlando McDaniel and Bobby Hebert Sr., who both died over the weekend due to coronavirus. McDaniel, who played football and ran track at LSU, was a second-round pick of the Denver Broncos in 1982 and played three games for the team that season. He was 59 years old. Bobby Hebert Sr. was the father of former NFL quarterback Bobby Hebert, who had an 11-year career in the NFL for the Saints and Falcons. Hebert credits his father for being, quote, "the reason I made it in the NFL," and in an appearance on WWL Radio in New Orleans on Friday, prior to his father's death, he became emotional talking about his dad's battle with COVID-19.
Bobby's certainly well said, and my thoughts and prayers go out to you and your family and certainly your father.
Well, Christian, I appreciate that. He's been a big part.
Let's go ahead and step away, Mark. Let's take a break.
Hebert Sr. was 81 years old.
That's it for today, everyone. Thanks for listening. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Andres Skelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. See you tomorrow.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.